God bless you.
God bless you,
we the love once again. We meet. And we the love we will unite. And return our thoughts to those things of the Father and all the miracles of his love. And the interpretations of the philosophies of his truth according to the apostles. So now, Brother John, what would you ask of Marcello?
What or who is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost?
The Holy Spirit, Brother John, is the Spirit of God. It is his love and his truth made manifest in the life force of man, bringing about an awareness and an understanding of the philosophies of his chosen disciple here on earth, one whom you call the Son, the Holy Son, the Christ consciousness, the Spirit of Christ and all he taught. The Spirit of God was born into him, and with this was the Spirit of love, the Spirit of consciousness and the truth, the Spirit of redemption and forgiveness, the Spirit of all things made manifest in man in order that he will evolve into a higher consciousness from that which he now exists. Do you understand what I have said to you, Brother John?
Yes, indeed.
The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and it was the Spirit of God which was within his Son Jesus Christ. And he told mankind this when he foretold this to Mary, his mom, when he told him that there was one who would be born and she would conceive, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, that man should become saved from himself, and that the Spirit of God and the truth of his love will be made manifest among men, according to the Scriptures. Is this make you content, Brother John?
Yes, thank you.
Is this the answer for your question?
Yes.
Is there anything now you would wish?
In Genesis,
see,
it's the Holy Spirit of God brooding upon the waters that produces life.
Barely.
Is that right, Marcello?
The Spirit of God is in all things, which will create life, and will create life in its perfect form. The Spirit of God moves across the waters, and there is contained within the waters life. The Spirit of God moves across the heavens, and there is in the heavens life. And the Spirit of God moves across the earth, and there is across this earth of yours life. And all things of life are born of God. And from life there is a consciousness, and from a consciousness there is a choice. Choice was given to man, and the recognition of his choices, the ability to understand the ability to reason, the ability to fulfill all things of his life within himself. The Spirit of God does move across the waters and will always be so. Is this to make you content, Brother John?
Yes, thank you. And it was the Spirit of God which raised up Jesus from the dead.
Brother John, is it not the Spirit of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of all these things which raise up those who have been saved from this earth plane in the preparation to evolve into the higher states of consciousness and awareness which are prepared before him? It is he said in your psalm, "And thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In other words, the Father prepared the table of life before mankind. And mankind is divided, as you know, from good and from evil. And Christ came upon this earth plane. And he also prepared his table in the presence of his enemies, in the presence of those who would deny him, and those who would forsake him, and those who would doubt him, and those, above all, who would betray him. Was he not therefore saying, "And thou hast prepared this table before me, the table of life, whereupon lies the bread of wine, the wine of the blood, the bread of the body, all of these things as we have said before." And so it was. But the bread of life was prepared before man. The blood of his body was prepared before man by Christ. And so it is, Brother John. This was prepared, and the Spirit of Christ fulfilled all that was asked of God. It fulfilled all those things which the Spirit of God had ordained it should be. And his son fulfilled his task by preparing this table before him in the presence of his enemies. And man still does this even today. Do you not prepare your table, Brother John, when you consecrate the blessings of the holy sacraments each time you worship in your church at your high altar? Is this not your table?
I must think of that,
And is it not there so that you also will consecrate the blood of Christ and the flesh of his body through the bread and the wine? Are you not also committing to your flock the Spirit of God into their being and blessing them and saying to them, "Receive the blood of Christ. Receive, this is his body." Each time you prepare your high altar, Brother John, you are preparing a table in the presence of your enemies for those who will come to worship and still doubt. I want you to remember these things. Take them into your heart. Consider them. Each time you prepare this holy sacrament. You understand this, Brother John? Is this also for you another concept of this act of worship and love? Understand. Spirit of God is within all men. Spirit of God was in Christ his Son. The Spirit of God shall exist throughout all this earth. Not only in mankind, but in all creatures, great and small. For even they have cognition. They have recognition. They have precognition. They have understanding. They have their way of life. But it is not interfered with in the same way as the life of man. It is a simple and a just way of life. And it is a way of life man should take as an example of love and of trust and of a simple belief in one another. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, dear brother.
Is this make you content?
Yes.
Now, Brother John, let us continue now.
I liked what you said, Marcelo, about, you know, when you prepare the high altar, you prepare a table for the enemies of Christ, you know, the doubters.
Ecco.
Those who are uncertain. The Spirit, as St. Paul taught us, urges us to discern good spirits and bad spirits. How do we do this? And who are the bad spirits?
The
evil spirit.
You discern them, my Brother John, by searching your heart, by looking within yourself. You discern them by taking the counsel from a teaching of Kim Sam, who likewise took this teaching from one Confucius. When you see a worthy man, emulate him. When you see an unworthy man, search yourself and seek to understand the difference. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
And so it is. If you can apply this to your understanding and search diligently within yourself, when you see one who errs and strays from the pathway, and one who will seek to destroy those things which you have taught, do not try to seek and understand him until first of all you strive within yourself to understand the strength of your own being and the counsel of your philosophies and the teachings that life has afforded you. Not so much what you have read in a book. Look deep within your own heart and take counsel from all those things that life and those things of life in which you believe and love. And they will provide for you a means of discernment. How do you recognize one who is evil? Simply by their own lack of acceptance of God. They are ones who will say, we have a philosophy in life, one day, and another day it will be another philosophy, and another day another philosophy. For you see, those who are evil and who are without help and without the love of God within them, or rather should I say without the understanding of the love of God within them, will turn this way and that. For whatever they will term as a truth. Like someone who is about to fall and will grasp at anything he can grasp onto to prevent his fall. But there is no prevention, only through the love of God. And it is the love of God which is man's redeeming grace from the pitfalls of evil and his own self-destruction. So when you see one who is struggling to find for himself a philosophy with which he can attack those things which are of God, then you are looking upon an evil one, and a false one, a false prophet if you wish, for he has no firm foundation upon which to stand, nor yet to base his beliefs and his philosophies of life. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
And is this answer for your question?
Yes. Sometimes you find people who are generally having good intent, and yet sometimes they are seized by motives which are, in, to say the least, are inferior.
This is the soul.
And there is something certainly within my own makeup which can detect this and which gives me a forewarning.
And do you know what this is, Brother John?
The Spirit of God in me speaks.
Is well said. It is the love of God which perceives all things concerning man in his weakness. We have said also before, Brother John, many will come forward, few are chosen. Many come before him, just as the man came before Christ and said to him, what must I do to become a disciple? And Jesus said to him, go, give away all your possessions to those who have need of them. Forsake all things of this earth and follow me, and I will show you the kingdom of heaven, and you will be my disciple. And the man taking account of all these things remembered that those things he had were of great value to him here on earth. And his possessions were many. And he turned away from Christ, for he held closer to him above all things, his possessions and his wealth. And was it not then that Christ said to his disciples, it would be easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle and to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It would be easier for him to destroy himself in this way than to accept simplicity and humility and enter into the kingdom of God as a true and perfect spirit. Do you understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
Man is very often a poor example of those things of God. And he is this because his pride and his possessions and all those things of the earth are placed before the love of God. I know there are many who are coming to your flock who have such possessions and who have such pride and who have great wealth, and they will say, I come to my temple and I worship with Brother John every day on worship day. And I put in my money in to my collection, as you call it. I offer my alms and my salutations to God. And yet, Brother John, it is as though the Father is saying to them, I hear you not, and I heed you little, because he knows that the only real conviction that these ones have in their heart is to create for them an image of a might, an image of a generosity and a giving. But it is to those such as this little woman who gave to Christ her last farthing, and gladly so, praying she could have given more. These are the ones the Father receives. These are the ones he loves. These are the ones he will hear. And these are the ones he will ordain into his kingdom and into his realms. Do you understand this, Brother John? And you have seen this example before you many times. A little child in its innocence will give of itself joyfully and has no wish for possessions. That is to say, he has no wish for a possession he would not give to God if he could. There is no wish within a child to covet those things of the earth rather than to covet those things of God. And so it is, Brother John. It is, he truly said, it would be harder for a man to pass it through the eye of a needle, or for a camel, or for an oxen, or for any living thing, to pass it in this way, than for a wealthy and a noble man, filled with his pride and his possessions, and his ego, and his might, because of his possessions, to pass into the kingdom of God. For he will be heard for his much speaking, but he will not be received. You understand this, Brother John? The living Christ was a pure example of this, for he walked his short life through this earthly plane. As many a teaching will tell you, having no possessions of his own other than the clothes he stood up in, and the shoes upon his feet, he sought no need of possessions. He relied and trusted in the love of his fellow man, to love him and to feed him. You may think this is a selfish way, but did he not feed the many, Brother John? And did he not dedicate his life not only to the love of God, but to the fellowship of the human race? Did he not forfeit his life when he could so easily have saved himself by denying God? What kind of love is this? What kind of immovable faith must there have been in his heart? What kind of joy in his understanding of these things must there have been in his life? And in his being, and in all those things he gave freely to mankind. Was it therefore too much for him that he should be offered a loaf of bread by his brother, or that his sister should anoint his feet, or that one should come from a tree and be told, I am going to dwell with you this day? And yet he was looked upon as a sinner. And the man came from the tree and he went joyfully to his home. And he gave all those things he had to give, freely and with love. So it is with your life. Give yourself freely and unstintingly, and he will give it to you. Was this not a living testimony of his own teachings on his Sermon on the Mount, when he said to them, why have you need for the morrow, and today, and for what is? For the Father which is in heaven knows those things you have in need of. And he knows of your needs. And he knows of your love. He knows of the many sacrifices you will make in your life, that others may come forward and see your good works and glorify him, for they know that he is within you. Brother John, you have walked from early childhood along a very spiritual pathway, and if I may say, also a very privileged pathway. Privileged in that you were given an early understanding of the love of God which was manifest within you. And you have searched your heart and of your spirit, and you have been tried and tasted and tempted in so many ways. You have been spiritually flogged and cursed by many, even those you love. And even through the pain of these things, still you stand before the table of the Father and carry out his oaths and offer his sacraments and his love to your flock. And you have asked nothing in return, only that you be loved and understood. Is this not so?
Yes,
I do. And to do this is indeed a service to the Spirit of God. And you have seen the Spirit of God moving across the waters of life, whether it be in the Sea of Galilee, or in the Red Sea, or across the River Jordan, or wherever it was. The waters of life, Brother John, are the waters of a giving spirit, or the cleansing spirit, or the fulfillment of the spirit, of the baptism of the Spirit, and the bread of heaven is not just a piece of the dough which is placed upon a table. It is the true love of God fed to mankind through the examples of his Son, Jesus Christ. The holy wine, was he taken from the waters, which he performed at the wedding of Canaan, and he turned it into wine, as if he were saying, in preparation for his last supper, take this wine, for it is the blood of life. It is the blood of God. It is the blood of the Holy Spirit. It is the blood of all that I am and all that I will be in my short life. And when he stood before this table, he was only reflecting upon his life, recalling all those things which had befallen him in his life, the deceptions and the deceits, the rejections and the doubts, the unforgiving and the cursing which were laid upon him. And so he gathered his disciples before him in a last desperate effort to teach them to understand that the Spirit of God was within everything laid before him at this table. At this table contained not only food and drink for the human body, it contained the Holy Sacrament for the Spirit of God within man. Emphasized by the example of the love of Christ, he knew that his hour was come. He knew that it was the hour upon which a man must reveal himself to God. He knew it was the hour when a man must learn to understand that only through the love and the Spirit of God moving across the waters of life, consecrating all that he was, that man must seek redemption for himself, within himself, through the examples of the love of Christ. And he knew there was a time at hand when he would no more be in the physical form on this earth plane, and that man would have his eyes opened to the truth of the resurrection of the Spirit of God within mankind through the resurrection of Christ himself. And this is why he said to the thieves which hung beside him, "Even this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He was reflecting to man again and reassuring man again that the love of God will forgive the weakness of sinners, and that no man shall come to the Father but through the love of Christ and through the example of Christ. And so it was, those who had sinned witnessed the redemption of their sins as they hung beside him, and also as they stood at the foot of his cross, they realized in that final hour that the Lord your God is a forgiving God, and the God of love, and the God of his word. And if he gave them their sins, and as the blood of Christ mingled with the waters of the earth, so did the Spirit of God move across these waters, Brother John. So touching this earth with the Spirit of everlasting life and the everlasting redemption of sins and an eternal love. Is this make you understand, Brother John?
Yes,
thank you. Is this make you content now?
Yes.
I know I have talked for a long time. Is there anything now you wish to talk of with Marcello?
No.
Have we covered all those things which troubled your heart before?
Yes, thank you, Marcello.
And is there any doubt in your mind of those things I have said?
When we were talking about the blood of Jesus cleanseth from all sin, I know what it means, Marcello. From what the Spirit has taught me, from what you have taught me. The Church is teaching that when Christ died, all sin was forgiven, was lifted from the shoulders of mankind.
Believe.
That He did it for us, and there is nothing for us to do, nothing that we can do, and this is wrong teaching, is it not?
See.
Man must be his own saviour by the example of Christ.
Bellamy is a simple truth, Brother John. Too simple for many to understand. But as I said, when the blood of Christ intermingled with the waters at his feet, when his storms came at his crucifixion, it was as though his blood was washed into the earth, and so touching all mankind. And he touching the earth, for the blood of life is the essence of mankind as a material being. And when this is intermingled with the waters of this earth, it will spread into all mankind also, again and again and again. Many are those who have fallen, Brother John, whom you will remember and pay homage to very soon. They also made a supreme sacrifice that peace and love should remain here on this earth. And again, Brother John, the blood of so many of these children was washed into the earth by the waters of the earth, touching again this earth of yours with the spirit of love, of a compassion, of a self-sacrifice, of a giving, of the ultimate contribution to mankind, life itself. It was a horrific thing when a man crucified this child of God. It was a horrific thing when a man destroyed so many of his brethren for the sake of great possession and the destruction of others, and for power, and for pride. All these things which are harmful to the progression of the spirit. These children also gave of themselves, perhaps not always freely, but nevertheless, they made the sacrifice to God in the cause of peace and love and the furtherance of the brotherhood of man here on earth. And these things we would ask, Brother John, that you will point out to those of your flock who come also to remember. Remind them that are they not giving in the same way that Christ gave, and that their blood also seeped into this earth of man in order that they may live, and that the peace shall reign in the hearts of mankind and shall overcome greed and desire and the possessions. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, yes, sir.
Have I again answered your question?
Yes, you picked up what was in my mind.
See, I will talk with you on this ceremony that you will perform. I will be in your heart. And those things I have spoken of this time with you will echo through your knowledge and understanding.
Yes, I've gotten them.
In your
time,
yeah.
To retain them now. Because
do not try, Brother John. I will replace them and renew them in your heart. It is to make you happy.
Yes,
thank you. Shame on me. You wish to talk further with Marcello?
When we speak of the redemption by Jesus Christ, man needed to be saved from himself, like as a man drowning in waters.
See.
He had no means of rescue by himself.
Pardon me.
So Christ is in that sense the Saviour.
Pardon
me. The race of mankind was degenerating so fast that only the Christ as a Saviour could rescue man from himself. Is that correct?
Is so, Brother John. And this again we have spoken of many times and referred to, that Christ was the great Redeemer in so many, many ways. Man was filled with his own folly, and so filled with this, and for his greed and need of possessions, and would struggle and fight against his brother to possess these things, and would destroy his brother. They even denied the teachings of the prophets which were before Christ in their anxiety to possess whatever it was they wished to possess. And so it was that the Father ordained that he would come in the spirit of the Master Jesus, and to bring to man the understanding of the meaning of eternal love, of peace among men. This was foretold at the birth of Christ, when the angels appeared unto the shepherds, and he told them so. He is a Saviour. He is a child of God. He is a blessed redeemer of men. But not to redeem the bodies of men, but to redeem the spirit of men, and to save them from themselves and from their own destruction, one of another. And so it was. And when he became a child old enough to go about his father's business and come before John the Baptist, who cried in the wilderness, foretelling of the coming of Christ, of this great Redeemer of men, and of his going into the wilderness, not so much to be tempted of the devil, as a man will call him, but more to be tempted of himself, as a man, as a mortal man. Here he stood there high on a hilltop, looking down upon his great city before him, knowing that he had the gift of the Spirit of God within him, telling himself, if I consider myself, I can have all these things. And yet the Spirit of God spoke within him, saying to him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he understood this. And he believed in his father again. He believed in himself. He had borne witness to the Spirit of God and love within him. And in bearing witness to this, and a full realization of the full command the Spirit of God had over man in itself, and the realization of all those gifts of the Spirit, he chose only to serve the Father. And so he came down from the wilderness, having been tempted of himself, of his lower self, and turning aside from these temptations, he knew that he had conquered self. He had conquered the material being within and all its needs. And so it was when he came to the marriage of Cain, the first great miracle he performed was to consecrate the holy waters as he knew them to be, the waters of life, this life-giving precious thing, into the wine, the blood of his body, that two souls may be made one and rejoice. And so he strove continuously all through his life, striving to make man understand, to love God, to serve him, was to find within oneself the true majesty and the power and the glory of the Spirit of God, the love of God within, which will conquer all things. And when he was come to be tried and to be crucified of man, not because he had sinned, but because certain of men feared for their positions in life and for their authority and their power and their position in life, which they believed only came from their many books and of much learning from these books and scribes. And so came, through this fear, the will to condemn him for his simplicity and truth, and for his eternal love and immovable faith in the Father. And so was it not so befitting that he should understand and know all these things, as he suffered the pain of the crucifixion and raised his head to the Father. And in his last and final prayer for mankind, his simple prayer should be, forgive them for they know not what they do. And the Father heard his prayer, and recognizing his Son as being the Son in whom he was so well pleased, he forgave a man his sins. And he left with the man this eternal example of love, trust, and forgiveness. And even now, man contrives to overthrow this love and will fail. So ultimately, for as I said to you, Brother John, at the beginning of this talk, the love of God and the Spirit of God is in all things of him and those who love him. It is in all things of life and living, only to be seen through the simplicity of its example of the love of Christ among men. And it was therefore so fitting that the Master Jesus should identify this, as I have said, as he hung there upon the cross. And first he forgave the sinners which were beside him, telling them that this day they would be with him in paradise. And finally saying to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in so saying, he gave up the ghost, fulfilling his promises that he would return and show them the Spirit of God manifest among man. And even then they doubted him and feared him. And even then also, when he walked beside them along the road, they knew him not. Still, he loved them. So you see, Brother John, the spirit of love and of forgiveness is a very demanding thing of man, and it must be forgiven him sometimes when he weakens among men. But when he weakens in the sight of God, and through his weakness rejects the love of God, then he must face those things which he has brought upon him. I will not say he must therefore witness the wrath of God, for the Lord your God is a loving God and a forgiving God. It is only man who will destroy and punish himself. It is only man who will judge himself. It is only man who will destroy and torment himself through his ignorance of the love of God. Is this to make you content now, Brother John? And is this answer for your questions? Brother Cristio, will you wipe the face of the instrument?
I don't wipe it now.
Si, me ne onto now. Bon tonare, si. Grazie, grazie. I have spoken with you for a long time now. I have spoken to you of the things of the Spirit of God and of the Spirit of Christ and of the Spirit of man for all are one. This is the Holy Trinity, the Trinity of life. I will close by saying to you all, when doubt befalls you, remember the sacrifice he made, that man will live again and come to know himself through the gift of forgiving and the gift of love. Therefore I say unto you, give ye freely of your spirit, give ye freely of your love, give ye freely of yourself. And a Father who knows of what things you have in need of, will grant them unto you threefold. God bless. Dico mi antero a mando mai si. Si, si, mi coni. Bless you, my children. May his love be upon you. I would briefly ask that you will consider those things which God in his love has ordained that my brother should teach. And when next you kneel in prayer before the Father, cleanse your heart, cleanse your being, cleanse the words of your mouth, cleanse your vision, cleanse your spirit. And in the cleansing of these things, receive unto yourselves the true love of God, manifest in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. For there is coming before you, my children, an even greater and deeper understanding that man in his mild ignorance has not yet foreseen. But I say unto you, a great truth will manifest itself in the hearts and minds of many, and all those things my beloved brother Jonathan has asked in his heart of my brother Marcel shall become a living truth among men. Saying these things, I know and understand those things you seek within your heart, and I know the purpose of which it is dedicated. But let your truth shine forth from your heart. keep it not to yourself, nor yet to your neighbor, but share it among mankind, that the love of Christ shall remain forever a redeeming love in the purest and pursuit of the redemption of the sins of mankind. Be cleansed, my children. Be strong in your faith. Be silent in your resolve. But be loud and heard in your appraisal of the love of God within man. Shall we now talk with the Father? Let us pray. And let us pray for the peace and love of mankind, and all things of this earth, which through the love of God do live, and thrive, and evolve. And may the love and the peace and the innocence of Jesus Christ our Lord remain ever a manifestation before those who will see him, and those who believe upon him, and those who will receive him into their life. May the Lord have mercy upon you. May the Lord love and receive you. May the Lord bless and keep you always and ever in his sight and in his care and keeping. May the love of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, remain and dwell within your heart and within your perfect understanding of him. May the sacrifice of his love among men ever remain a guiding beacon of life in your life, that your ways shall be made clear unto him, and that you shall see your way and receive of him, and shall know him. Through the love of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and through his peace and eternal love, may you rest in his favour and in his truth from this day forward, and even forevermore. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my children.
God bless you, my children.
Go in peace.